So I don't know how many were on Thursday night, but I lost my signal just as I was really getting wound up, that's okay. But I'm going to talk about some of those things today even more. But we'll definitely make sure that those that weren't on Thursday night they'll know where we're headed with it. Because I had a dream, it's been a while back now, several months ago. And in the dream, I was in the mind of God when he formed all things. And it was an awesome thing. It was also a very awesome partaking. But the things that have been coming from it are what very important to the Son. And because we're in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and in the revelation of Jesus Christ, who first got the revelation of Jesus Christ? How about God? God had to have it first, right? It was the mind of God. So when we talk about this, this is where we, in our thoughts, a lot of times we err about some things. And number one, the thing is that we do not yet understand who Jesus Christ is. Is Jesus Christ separate and distinct from the Father? He is the Father. He is the Father. So when we talk about Jesus Christ, we are talking about the mind of God. That's why when the revelation comes, the apostle will say, I have the mind of Christ. So now he knows he has the mind of God. So Paul, when he talks about his experience, when he went into the third heaven, into the paradise of God, in that experience, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Correct? Isn't that what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians? Chapter 12, I believe it is. So whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. And I'll tell you this, when you're in a revelation regarding those kind of things, whether you're in the body or out of the body, it doesn't really matter because where you're at is in the mind of the Father. And if you're in the mind of the Father, do you really need to know if you're in the body or out of the body? Because the only thing that you can grab hold of is the experience of where you're at in God in the moment. At that moment, you are in the mind of God. You're overwhelmed. Or let's look at it this way. You are literally being baptized into the mind of Christ. That's what's taking place. And so when we talk about baptism, we're talking about being wholly whelmed or overwhelmed by the Word of God. That's what we're talking about. So in that baptismal power that is in the mind of the Father, and the mind of God begins to flood the believer, now we're talking foundationally. So when the mind of God begins to flood or baptize the believer in those experiences or in those things, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. The only thing that I know is that I heard things that are not lawful for a man to utter. Isn't that what Paul said? So what makes it lawful then? When can they be uttered? How about when you understand the experience? Because a lot of times when we have dreams and visions, until God interprets what you've just seen for you, what do you have to say about it? Nothing. You're just like, wow, that was awesome. But you don't understand what was seen and heard. Are you with me? So it takes God to interpret what he hath showed you to make it lawful for you to begin to speak it. Very important for us to understand those things. Because who's the interpreter? God is. God will always be the interpreter. Always. And so when we try to interpret things for ourselves, which is what we have done with the reasoning thing and the knowledge thing, we go and search the scriptures to see whether the scriptures are true, to see whether or not the mind of God is true. That's what we do. And if we think that we have, well, let me just say it this way. Why would we think that we need to prove the mind of God. I'll tell you why. Because we are fools. We are fools. And when it comes to the things of God, we are definitely foolish. Amen? So I'm going to turn to, and I'm laying the groundwork for something very important here, just so you know. Because what we were talking about Thursday night was building again the house of God and laying a foundation. But how can the foundation be laid if you don't even know Jesus Christ? If you don't even know the mind of the apostles and prophets, how can you set forth a foundation that you can build the house of God on? It is not possible. It's just not possible. And so, listen to this. Let's see. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am Cephas, or I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. So even when the apostle baptizes, what name is he baptizing you into? He's baptizing you into the name of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying here, he says, I have the mind of Christ. And when I speak, I baptize you into the mind of Christ. Because in the mind of Christ, we will all become one. And in verse 10, he says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So I'll be honest with you, that scripture right there is prophecy. That's prophecy. In other words, he's establishing the mind of God, because when it was in the foreordained will of the Father, God established in the revelation of Jesus Christ that every mind would be the same mind. So is Christ divided? No. Christ is not divided. So when you and I come into the things of God, our mind cannot be divided, because if our mind is divided, do we have the mind of Christ? No, because Christ is not divided. Christ is one with the Father. And so a lot of times, I was telling some of you that the other day, after Tuesday morning Bible study, I went to say hello to another gentleman that I knew there, and he was with a table of other gentlemen, so there was three or four men around the table, and they asked me what I was doing there, and I said, well, we just got done with our Bible fellowship. And so then the next question was, well, what were you studying? And I said, man, we were studying being a partaker of the divine nature of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter chapter 1. And the next thing that came out of this one gentleman's mouth, well, have you ever thought about coming to Bible study fellowship on Tuesday nights? And I had to swallow this lump that came up in me, because I've been to Bible study fellowship before. And talk about a divided mind. Nothing good came out of it, just so you know. And I'm not speaking against Bible study fellowship. It's what I'm telling you is that Jesus Christ, his mind is the mind of the Father. That's why before God created all things, who did he have to bring forth in Revelation? The Son. He had to bring forth Jesus Christ before he could create all things. That's why the Bible says in Christ all things are created. And without him, nothing can consist. It's the mind of God. And yet our minds are not, the human mind or the natural mind is not capable of even coming close to forming that in itself. It's just not, you're not capable of it. It takes the mind of God coming into you to show you. the power of oneness in his own mind. You cannot study the scripture and get it. It's not possible. We have all tried it, and we have all failed at it. Back to this. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Now, this is the part I'm getting to. Listen to this very carefully to what he says. Now, he's in the mind of Christ, correct? He's apostolic. The apostle is in the mind of Christ. You become an apostle in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Christ ascended, he gave gifts unto men. So you cannot be an apostle and not be in the resurrected mind of Jesus Christ. It's not possible. Unless you call yourself an apostle, not ordained of God. Now you're a false apostle. And the Bible speaks to those as well. It speaks to the false apostle. And we are, well, I'm going to tell you, be thankful to be where you are today, to where what you get to hear is the truth of the Word of God. I'm just saying it. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So, what is my wisdom? We're going to find out. It's going to tell us. I know what my wisdom is in the carnal mind today. It's foolishness, but God's going to, because I know the Word of God, but I know what God's going to say. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. See, if you perish, then are you a believer or an unbeliever? You're an unbeliever. So, it was a year or so ago that God began to show me heaven. And in heaven, you know, here's what we think that we can design heaven for ourselves because we believe. And so when we study the scriptures, we take on images in our own mind of what we think heaven is. And we think we're going to see grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and all that stuff. And whatever, have a big old family reunion in heaven. Well, I'm going to clarify some things for you this morning. We are going to have a family reunion, but it's God's family. It's who you were with in the Father before is who you're going to be with again. That's the homecoming. That's the mind of the Father. So, if my mind is carnal and I die, what happens to my understanding of heaven? It dies. There's no remembrance of it. It's death. So I can think heaven to be anything I want it to be, but if it's not the heaven that God creates, when you die, when you put off, when you perish, so does that heaven. And it's a false hope. Now, we don't like to think of it that way because we have many loved ones in the flesh, don't we not? I have a mother and a father whom I love much. Sisters, brother, I don't know, I never had a brother, but sisters, brothers, y'all had brothers. Sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, I loved them all, still do to this day. But I also understand why God created a soul in every person, and why God redeems the soul unto himself. That's why the scriptures can say God is no respecter of person. Because God created the soul, which is his. It belongs to God. It came from the mind of God. And it's that soul that he redeems because in the redemption of the soul, he forms in it again that which it was from the beginning. And it's very important that we allow God to transfigure, transform, translate our minds into the mind of God in the soul. where God can create a new heaven and a new earth and make all things new again. That's where our understanding lacks spiritual things so much. Let me go on. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So if I'm saved, what do I have? I have the power of God. Look out. And I say that in all boldness. Do you think Paul believed he had power with God? Oh, man. Do you think Paul feared death? Physical death? No. Not even for a moment. Do you think he feared spiritual death? Not even for a moment. He didn't fear death at all. Why? Yeah, he was in life. He had the power of life. So if the soul belongs to God, then who are we in the flesh? We're not. It's not God's. It's just flesh. So these, listen, the aspects, this is what we're saying. This is what I want to say, tell you this morning before I get back to the foundation of God. Listen, we spend so much time in the thought of foolishness, not knowing the mind of God, neither can we know the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is why we do not allow the Father to teach it to us. We want to teach it to ourselves and have our own understanding of what we think it is rather than know what God is saying it is in truth. That's why the truth always speaks. Right? So, who can be truthful? Only God. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So when I talk about Jesus, who am I talking about? I am talking about the mind of God. So, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, correct? So when we talk about God, we're talking about the mind of the Father. We're talking about God and everything that makes him up. So Jesus would talk to the woman at the well, correct? And did he already know everything about her before he even entered into the conversation with her? Did he know that she'd had been married 5 times? Did he know that she was living with somebody that she wasn't even married to at the time? How would he know that? Yeah, listen, they know in the mind of God, listen, everything that you are, God already knows. Because he knows that when you're not in the mind of God and you're in the mind of who then? You're in the mind of Satan. So does God know the mind of Satan? Does he know every aspect of Satan's mind? That's why everything that is not of God, God knows. Because God knows himself pretty well. Thus, we understand that from that standpoint, we can understand good and evil. You understand what I'm saying? God sanctified himself before everything. And how did he do it? How did God sanctify himself? Now Jesus says, I sanctify my own self but through the word of God. So, how did God sanctify himself? How about through the revelation of Jesus Christ? That blows our minds. We sit there and we go, now, Pastor, what in the world are you saying? No. It's not what I'm saying, it's what God hath done. There's a difference. And everything that we bring to you, we bring to you what God hath done. Did God rest on the seventh day? So everything from the beginning was what? Yeah, it was done. Finished. That's why you can't add to it or take away from it. It's not possible. If I'm adding to it or taking away from it, what mind am I in? I'm in the carnal mind. I'm in the mind of the enemy. I'm in Satan's mind. You can call it whatever you want to. So if I think that I can add to God, have I already deceived my own self? Oh, man. Doesn't the Paul ask that question? He says, who has ascended into heaven that we might teach God? He asked the question just like that. And I'm like, well, definitely not me, God. I'm not teaching God a thing. Amen? Let me go on. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So in the mind of God, what's my mind? Nothing. My mind is nothing. Did Paul, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, have to come to an understanding within himself that he knew nothing? What did he know? I know nothing. Book of Galatians, correct? Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What more do you need to know? Because if Jesus Christ has been crucified, what else happened to him? He was resurrected, and he's now the power of God. Amen? So in the resurrection, I become, Paul just said it, I become the power of God. I'm saved. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I was having a conversation with my dad just the other day, and my dad was telling me about this program he watched on TV about genetic science today, and how through genetics they think they can create the perfect human being that never has disease, never has this, never has that, right? So can I say something very bold about that whole thing? That's impossible. Because what is it they don't know? They don't know God. And if you don't know God, what do you know? You know nothing. So I'm just telling you, what a foolish pursuit. What a foolish pursuit. And the amount of money spent on these endeavors, I'm telling you, it's craziness. It's crazy. It's nuts. We have everything we need. Everything. Well, yeah, but Pastor, I got cancer. Condition of the flesh. I'm sorry you have cancer. I'll pray for you. But what I know will heal you is what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that just doesn't seem to be enough. Well, now, wait a minute. Are we talking about a short period of time that vanishes in the blink of an eye, that perishes in the blink of an eye? Or are we talking about eternal life to where you will not only visit your generations that you know now, but how about your generations that were before and that you're about your generations that are to come? And you're going to tell me that that is not more important than you having cancer in the immediate frame of time. In heaven, time is no more. See, we get lost in worldly sorrow, looking at the flesh, not looking at Christ Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, of our life, our real life. Oh, yes, all the time. Yeah, God put this curse upon me. They say it because they don't know God. I'm just saying it. So, and believe me, I am not taking or removing from you the fact that nobody wants to suffer in the flesh overwhelming diseases. Amen. Nobody, and I'm not belittling that for a moment. But if we were in the mind of Christ, I'm going to tell you something. I know that in Christ, no disease. None. I know that in Christ, no heartbreak. I know that in Christ, there's no mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, no mourning. No mourning either, right, Ted? I know that in Christ, whatever afflictions I suffer in the flesh, in Him, they are no more. But we are so narrowly, landscaped in our minds to the now that we can't see the big picture that God hath created in our hearts. That's why, well, let me keep going here. But it does say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, right? We've read it two or three times in the last few weeks. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, if I'm in the mind of God, am I in some deep things? And I'm in a place in my mind where the things of my fleshly life now, I have no consideration for it. Beat me till I get stripes, stomp on me, slay me. I don't care what you do to this physical body. Well, I do, but in the mind, I know who I am, and I know what it is forevermore. Now, I'm not going to tempt God and go drive my car off of a cliff, just so you know. But not here or there. Listen, we are in a place, and God hath brought us to the place where we can now take on the mind of Christ and be overcomers of all those things. Everything that I've named in the last few minutes, in the mind of Christ, you are an overcomer. You cannot be beset from what God hath ordained you to be as a son in those things. It's not possible. And that's why He has established them in Himself before time began. And sent His prophets and His apostles to teach you and to show you the things to come. So if I'm raising up a foundation to build the house of God on, what is the house of God? Anybody know? Yeah, you as what? You as the Son of God, right? Okay, so the temple of the living God, is it not the mind of God? That's why He can say, you are the mind of God. That's why He can say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why He can say these things. Doesn't it say in Luke 17:21 that you are what? What's in you? No. Kingdom of heaven. Look not low here, low there. For the kingdom of heaven comes not with outward observation. For the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is within you. And yet in our minds, we've already ascribed it as being something different than what God had told us it is. In the book of Revelation, we see a lot of imagery about the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And we see a throne. And on that throne, God sits on that throne. We see 24 elders with crowns on their heads. And when the angels begin to sing, holy, 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 what do they do with their crowns? They bow and they cast them at the feet of the throne of God. Lots of imagery. We see seven churches. We see seven angels, seven spirits, seven candlesticks. all this imagery. And in the flesh, it means one thing, but in the mind of the Spirit, it's completely different. Yet we have let the carnal mind or the mind of the flesh form the image of what we think it is, rather than let the Spirit of God take me in and show me what it is in truth. Now listen to this. For after that, in the wisdom of, see, I read that part. The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. That's why, listen, if you ever leave the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up in your own thought. That's why when the Is-As was so popular, where'd we end up? In our own thought. We even went to the point, or some of us, went to the place where we called the Is-As the Holy Ghost. You know why God changed it for us? Because God knew that it was not the Holy Ghost. God knows who the Holy Ghost is. And God knows how the Holy Ghost speaks. And that He speaks in power. When the Holy Ghost speaks, people listen. So, listen. When the Holy Ghost speaks to you, what's it going to speak to you about? Yeah, the revelation of the Son. In other words, when the Holy Ghost speaks, is He going to show you who you are in the mind of the Father? Is He going to separate Himself from that? No. That's why, so how do I know if the Holy Ghost is speaking to me? I just gave you the answer. You're going to know who you are as the angel of the Lord. Every time the Holy Ghost speaks, He's going to reveal to you who you are in the mind of the Father. He's always revealing the mind of the Father. So, who could reveal the Father? The Son. Who could reveal the Son? Why? Why is it that way? Because they're one. One mind. So how can God reveal Himself in you? By telling you you're the Son of God. That's how. So now not only is the revelation of the Son of God in you, but is also the revelation of the Father in you. Imagine that. That's an amazing thing, and yet our minds can't even accept the inbreathing of that for even a moment. I'll tell you this, the carnal mind does not want to accept it either. It wants to deceive you, and it will always deceive you. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called. Now listen, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Greek, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let me read that for you again. But unto them which are called, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So who's the power of God? Jesus Christ. Who's the wisdom of God? Jesus Christ. Who died to save you? The power of God and the wisdom of God died that you might be saved. That's pretty awesome. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now, if we understood what that just said, bless you. Glory be to God in you. That no flesh, now listen, He's going to give you the answer, that no flesh should glory in His sight. Did you hear that? That no flesh. So if I create an image in my mind for myself, and that image is flesh, Is it God or not God? It is not God.
Really?
Oh, yeah, really. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Did you hear that? So what has Christ Jesus been made for us? Did you read it? Were we listening? Okay, listen. But of him are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? How do you know you're in Christ? Come on. There you go. Because in prophecy, in other words, a prophet came and told you, he spoke. A prophet spoke the word of God and put you in prophecy and told you that you were a son. Amen? But in our minds, we haven't comprehended what God hath given to us in that relationship. And so we think it's something different than what was spoken to us by the prophet. In other words, are we dishonoring or are we honoring what the prophet said? We're dishonoring what the prophet said. In other words, in sending a prophet, who's the prophet? It's Jesus Christ. Doesn't the Bible say in Revelation chapter 19 that all prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ? So if the prophet comes and he tells you who you are, then what testimony is being raised up in you? Testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you know, if I was to go to Bible study fellowship and begin to speak these things, they would cast stones at me. And they would do it pleasurably. And that's the part that really gets me. That's correct. It's just like when they crucified Jesus, did they believe they were doing the right thing? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? So, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom. So, in Christ Jesus, God is made. Did you hear that? In Christ, God is made. So when we read the Word of God, we're not taking it in, are we? Yes, correct. Yeah, we read it with blinders on. Listen to this. In Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all God. Who's righteous? God. Who's the sanctifier? God. Who's wise? God. Only God. We just read that. Who's the redeemer? God. Only God. We could turn to the book of Isaiah and preach. You know, it's on times like this, I could preach for hours. I mean, truly, I could preach for hours. It's just that carnally, you're not capable of sitting here and retaining it for hours. But in hearing everything that I've said so far, let me say this. Thursday night, what I was preaching out of Ezra and Nehemiah in laying the foundation to build the house of God. And even when they laid the foundation, the men of old, what did they do? Those of you that remember. They wept and shouted with a great shout for joy because the foundation of the house was laid. Just like they could see it coming. They could see the house of the Lord coming just as it was in the former house. Because when Solomon built the house of God, who gave him the plan? David, his father. And who gave it to David? God. God gave David the plan. Now, in our minds, we think of a physical house. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Everything in the Old Testament was type and shadow of what? The New Testament, the Spirit of God, the mind of God. everything. Here's the problem, is that without faith, is it possible to please God or is it impossible to please God? It's impossible to please God without faith. Did they have faith? No, in fact, the Bible says that the children of Israel did not have faith. So God could raise up priests and prophets, send them to the children of Israel, and what'd they do to them? They'd kill them. And when they killed them, what did God do with them? He put them under the altar for this our day. So that when Jesus was crucified, what happened to them? They came out. They were resurrected because the Redeemer had come forth in power. So in the resurrection in you, what's going to come out? All those priests and prophets that were slain of an unbelieving nation that could not hear God? So in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is it fundamental to you to be resurrected? Is it fundamental to you to be resurrected? And so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth. Absolutely. Here's our problem is that we don't understand what's being resurrected because our mind is what? Carnal. But God knows what's being resurrected. God knows what He's doing. Amen to that, Frankie? I'm going to close with this next from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. And I'm not going to go back and speak about a lot of the things that we talked about the other night. I'm just going to close with this because it's very important. Why do we ask you to lean on your elders and your apostles today? Why do we ask of that of you? I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense that and caused them to understand the reading. Did you hear that? I'm going to back up to verse 4. That'll give you a pretty good verse. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and in the ears of all the people, were attentive unto the book of the law. So why did they read from the law? Why? Why did they read from the law? That's what they had. That's what God gave them. Was it the scripture? Yes. Was it to lead them to Jesus Christ? Yes. But without faith, can it? No. Listen. But did that matter to God? Did He give it anyway? Why? For the generations. Big picture. God does not limit Himself to a certain day, as we call a certain day. But it does say, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. So, is today that day? How about tomorrow? Is that going to be that day? It certainly can be. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, and which they had made for the purpose. So they made a pulpit just for the purpose of Ezra to stand on to read the book. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messiah, and on the right hand and on the left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, and whatever the other names you want to read there. Dave and Connie, Lou and Bryce. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all people. Why was he above all people? Who was Ezra? He was a priest. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, reverence. Okay, he stands up. He's holding the book. He opens the book. All the people did what? They stood up. Were they giving honor to the Word of God? That's awesome to me. Shoot, we got people that won't even stand up for the flag, let alone the Word of God. And the Word of God's far more important than the flag, just so you know. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen. With the lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And these people that were with on either side of Ezra, right? They were there for a purpose. You know what the purpose was? That as he read the Word of God, they spoke the understanding of the Word into the ears of the people. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So here were these men ordained of God amongst the people. As the reading of the Word of God went forth, what did they do? What was their purpose? Cause the understanding. Why are your elders amongst you today? To bring you the understanding of the Word of God. Are you going to dishonor them? I would hope not. I would hope not. I would hope that as the reading of the Word of God and the understanding of it comes forth in you, that you yourself would stand up and you would bow your head in reverence to what God hath given you. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? Listen, you are the temple of the living God. But without the foundation, you can build nothing. So when the apostles and prophets begin to speak to you the understanding of the Word of God, amen? Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In other words, without the cross of Christ, can you build? Absolutely not. Hear me again. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, you can build nothing. That's why Jesus asked all of his disciples, or told all of his, he didn't ask them, he told them, if you'll forsake your life, you will find life. Did he mean what he said? Oh, believe me, he meant every word. You are becoming a partaker in the divine nature of Jesus Christ as a son. But as a son in partaking of the divine nature, what's going to happen in your mind? Yes, transformation, but how can it be transformed in the without death? Or are you going to have to partake in the death of Jesus Christ? I tell you, I lie not to you. Let Christ lead you into the death that he himself suffered. And when he leads you into the death that he himself suffered, will he also take you into the resurrection that he himself was resurrected in? Here's the thing. Did he know before he died that he was going to be resurrected? Yes, he did. Don't you? And so why would we be afraid to die if we know that we're going to be resurrected? I'll tell you why. We like what we have in our own minds. We like what we perceive. We like what we can feel, smell, touch, taste. What's the other one? And hear. We like it a lot. But when you take on the mind of Christ, I'm going to tell you what you like will overwhelm you with goodness. It will change. And only in the power of the resurrection can it be changed. And you can only be resurrected if what? If you die. Amen? I'm telling you, you are the temple of the living God. And let the foundation of Jesus Christ, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, let it be laid. It's already been laid for you. Become a partaker in it. That's the whole thing. Become a partaker in it and let it change your life. Let it change your mind. Why don't you become free to the things of God? Amen. God bless you. We'll stop there today.